You can tell I already do, don't you? Only where I feel really, really at home does the Lord move on me like that. You know, it's true though. You know, the only in the houses that are really welcome to the prophetic can you release the prophetic, you know. And so, you know, my screaming and yelling was me getting a revelation, you know, of what God was doing. And so it's good to be in a house where there's that openness to just be free. And so hopefully that was, hopefully you guys are all on that same page. But anyway, I'm just so grateful to be here, and I already feel like family, and I just love this place and love you all already. And there's just been so many awesome things that have already happened, and like I said, just coming into the prayer room and hearing Phyllis get the revelation that we're just to praise him for the storm, you know, and it just really clicked and made sense. And we don't understand the mystery of his wisdom sometime, but I know that at least in part, the snow is just a prophetic of his coming upon us today. And if you didn't hear what I was ranting at up here, it was, I just had such a revelation that the walls have been broken down and have crumbled down, and it really goes along with what I'm feeling and what I've been sensing in the spirit in general, not only for this church but for the church in general. And so I just have so much to share, and right now I'm rambling till I get to where I'm supposed to share first. So some of you understand that, but Lord, we just want to praise you. In this house, we thank you so much for what you're doing in this place. We thank you for the breakthrough atmosphere, Lord God, and for just drastic change.
Yes, Lord.
Drastic change. So we thank you for drastic change. When walls are broken down and when walls crumble, drastic change occurs. And so, you know, when you're now exposed in a good way and seen and made visible, drastic change is going to occur. So just think of it. Walls can protect you from some of the elements. And like I said, I'm saying this in a good way. So imagine now the walls are broken down, and now when the wind comes, it blows heavier, and blows fiercer, and blows harder, and you feel the weight of that wind that's blowing because there's no wall. And you have a greater sensation of everything that's traveling through in the atmosphere and the spirit from God. And so that's just one of the things that I believe is happening for this church as the heavens are opened over this place. And I was thinking, Kenny, last night, if you didn't hear Kenny or you were kind of occupied, he was saying just this past week, Friday, he saw a double rainbow, and he actually saw it touching the earth. And when I just kind of thought about that as I was praying and seeking the Lord last night some more before I went to bed, and God said it's because heaven is touching earth. And that is really what a lot about what my message is about. About this time where heaven is truly touching earth. And please, for the sake of yourself, you know, let's try to not despise, I'm speaking to myself, despise, oh, it's another, you know, prophetic season. Oh, it's another new season. Oh, it's another open door season. Oh, it's another open heaven season. Because you know, the Bible only gives us so much language. But at the same time, there's always new seasons and there's always fresh awakenings. And so when I talk about open doors and when I talk about open heavens, try to not let it just come across so familiar, because it comes across so familiar to me. I mean, I'm just as guilty as sometimes as despising prophecy, and I'm very prophetic. And I love the prophetic. But we hear these same terminologies and these same phrases, and it's because we've only been given so much language to express what heaven's doing. And so I just want to, you know, kind of erase everybody's minds in a way of ever hearing about open doors, of ever hearing about open heavens, of ever hearing about the more of the Lord, of ever hearing about it's a time of supernatural increase. You know, let's just erase our minds in that sense today so we can just say, wow, that's a fresh word. Am I making sense? And so I even was coming into that in the same way, and I didn't even really need that because I've just seen, which I'm going to tell you about, I've seen over and over and over this last month and 2 months of God just speaking so clearly about what I'm going to talk about today. And even when I was here in December, I'll even back up and say that last fall into early winter, God started speaking to me about a sound being released. And so I started speaking about a sound being released. And so I would preach at one place, and then God would bring it up again. I'd preach in another place, and then God would bring it up to the next place I came, and so I'd preach it again. And it's just so cool because you think you get a word, and it's for a church, and then you start seeing other ministries or other pastors, and you start going to other churches, and God starts speaking. He's just saying the same thing everywhere, and so that's how it always is with me. It starts out as, wow, this is a really cool word, and then I realize I'm saying it about 5 times that same month. And so that's how it was with this word about God releasing a sound. So I believe that last fall and early winter, God started releasing a sound. And anytime we see in the Bible when God releases a sound, and I know I'm reiterating what I said last time, if you remember, but anytime that God releases a sound on the earth, drastic change happens. You think about Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, it says there was what? The sound of a mighty rushing wind. And did drastic change occur? Drastic change occurred. The culture was turned around in a moment. And we see in there's stories about Elisha and how the day before there was such great famine in the land. I think it's in 2 Kings, but there was such great famine in the land to where mothers were eating their children. And Elisha prophesied that by tomorrow you'll be spending less on wheat and grain and the sorts than you have to just buy a donkey's brain. They were literally spending all their money to just buy donkey brain the day before, and so he's prophesying tomorrow you're gonna spend less than what you've been spending to eat donkey's brain on wheat and grain and flour. Impossible, right? But God released a sound. And it was the sound of an army coming against the other army. And when God released the sound, the other army fled, and everything changed in a moment. And all of a sudden, in a day, they're not eating babies anymore. They're selling and buying again. And so I could tell you other examples of when God releases a sound and drastic change occurs. But I'm saying that to come up to what I'm saying today and what he's speaking now about an open heaven and open door time. And that he's released a sound. And when a sound's released, it means that heaven's been opened. Because heaven's sound can't be released, you understand, if heaven's not opened. And so, it's such a season of supernatural increase. And I just release and breathe over you all supernatural increase. And I'm real sensitive about worship. I don't like bothering people during worship. I really don't. I'm sensitive about it because I know that's your intimate time with the Lord, and you can just get distracted if somebody comes up and prays for you. So I apologize if that happened, but I felt so strong just to go around and lay hands on those who are up front and just say more, because that's what God's releasing. He's releasing more. Supernatural increase is coming, and it's because the heavens are opened. And so I hope I come back to, I will come back to that thought, but I want to start with January. I was meeting with a good pastor friend of mine, and he was telling me about him and his wife. They had went to a log cabin, a little cabin to get away for a weekend in early January because they just needed rest. They needed the, you know, to just recoup and refresh. And so I'm meeting with my good friends in late January, and he's telling me about how in early January him and his wife went away and just to get rest and retreat a little bit in a cabin for 2 days. And he said they got there about 7 o'clock at night, and by 9 o'clock he's just exhausted, and he falls asleep. And his wife is like, "Lord, you know, come on, we just got here." And God just said, "You know, just leave him be. He needs his rest." And soon enough, just heavy sleep falls on her. And so they both, you know, are 2 hours into their wonderful time away, and they're just crashing out because just a heavy sleep came on them. Well, about midnight that night, they awake to this clanging around, banging around, doors opening, chairs shuffling out in this kitchen / living room area of their cabin, which their cabin's, you know, their cabin has a bedroom, and, you know, then, so it's two rooms, you know. So they awake to hearing all this noise and clamor, and he's like, "Somebody has broken into my house, you know, somebody's in our cabin, honey." And he's freaking out, you know. And so he's like, doesn't know what to do, what else to do, but get out of his bed and go out and check out the noise. What's, you know, going on? There's drawers opening, there's chairs shuffling, there's doors being open and shut, refrigerator door opening, shutting. He goes out and sees absolutely nothing. And he's like, "Whoa." You know, obviously God is in this place, you know. And so he lays back down. I don't know how much later it happened to be, but he then wakes up, opens his eyes, and before his eyes is a white translucent door going from the floor all the way to the ceiling right in front of him. And now he's in greater shock. And he said he just kind of laid there and blinked his eyes a few times and moved his head around and making sure he wasn't just dreaming or, you know, making sure this thing was a reality, you know, pinching himself and everything else, you know, because he's seeing this white translucent door that's just standing before him. And it stays for a while, and he doesn't know what to do with it. He just lays there, stares at it, and eventually falls back asleep. The next morning, his wife said, "Well, honey, did you have any dreams?" Because she was asleep the whole time. "Well, honey, did you have any dreams last night?" Because after all the clamor and stuff out in the kitchen living room area, and he's like, "Well, no, not exactly, but I did see something." And so he tells his wife that he saw this white translucent door that went from the floor to the ceiling. And he said right away, well, they might have said, "Well, let's pray about what this means." And right away they got the scripture, John, I think it's 10:9. And in John 10:9, it says, "I am the door." And so he's telling me all this story, okay, when we met together about what happened and how Jesus visited them and appeared to them as the door. And I thought, well, that's pretty awesome. And our meeting, our time together went on, and he began praying for me. Afterwards, he began praying for me and just started speaking some things over my life, and I won't tell you what he spoke over my life because it's not really significant to you, but during that time when he was praying over us, he just felt heavily to pray some certain things over our life. And when he was praying over us, the power goes off in his house. And sirens simultaneously go off in the background. Now, sirens in the natural, but nonetheless, his power goes off in the house, sirens go off in the background, and we're just like, whoa, that must have been a moment. you know, because it wasn't like we were, you know, feeling anything just crazy, supernatural. You know, obviously the presence was there when we were praying. But we were like, oh, okay. God was marking that moment for some reason. And so the next day I'm at my office at the church, and I record, you know, everything that when people pray over me, prophesy over me, I carry my recorder daily. It's right here in my pocket, you know, and so I recorded it. And so I was just going to download it onto my computer so I could listen to it. And so the very next day I'm downloading it onto my computer and listening to it at the same time as I'm downloading it. And I'm sitting in my office, and I know you can't know where our church offices are, but my wife is actually the administrator at our church, and I'm actually the associate pastor with my father. Then I just go out from there, you know. I preach half the time with him, and then preach itinerant whenever that opens up to me. So, but I'm in the office all the time, and so I was in my office is kind of on one side of the church. My wife's is on the other side of the church. And then the door to our church that you come, you know, the parking lot and the door you enter is kind of in a different place, okay? And so I'm listening to this word he gave me and downloading it onto my computer. And I the front door is much like your door. It has the bar, you know, and it clicks, you know, it makes that distinct clicking noise in the place and locking in the place. And mind you that during the week, the doors and every door on our church is locked because our offices are in a position where you can't see anybody or anything. And so our doors are locked throughout the entire week. So I knew my parents were going to come in that day and talk to us about some different things. And so anyway, I was listening to this and I heard the door open from the parking lot, and I didn't think anything about it and just kept listening. And I have to tell you too that Annika, she's my 5-year-old, she was sitting right with my wife Ruth in her office, and Alethea, my 2-year-old, was sitting right beside me in my office. And so I heard the door open, didn't think anything about it. And then and about 5 minutes later, I'm freezing because I was like, it feels like there's a draft in the church, and I'm completely freezing. I'm like, what is going on here? And I said, because I heard the door open, I thought, well, maybe somebody left the door open. And so I get up out of my office, and like I said, my office is opposite of where I heard the door open. And I step out of my office door, and to that way, there's a hallway with a door on it that faces then the road on the opposite side of the building. And so I come out of my door, and I look this way, and that door, not the one I heard, that door is wide open. Every door is locked in our church. That door is wide open. I come out, and I say, hey, honey, did you hear the parking lot door open? And she said, yeah, I heard it open, too. And I said, did anybody come? Because nobody came back to talk to me. And she said, no, nobody... Nobody came that I'm aware of. And so now we're like, oh my gosh, this door is wide open. And we both, because it makes a distinct sound, we both heard the parking lot door open. So now we're on a mission. And so now we're searching the entire church. We're scanning the parking lot. We're making sure that nobody came in and out without us knowing it. And sure enough, there's no tracks in the snow. And we went through the entire church to see if anybody was there. And absolutely nobody was in the church. And now we're freaking out in a good way, like, whoa. So I call my friend who had prayed for me the day before and who had seen the open door vision. And I said, you won't believe what just happened. I said, I was listening to you praying over me again when the power went off and the sirens went off a day before. And now two doors open that can't be opened. And as I'm telling him this, sirens go off in the background. And I'm like, oh my gosh, sirens just went off in the background. And we're both freaking out now even more. And I hung up after we laughed and, you know, we're like in amazement. And I called his wife because I didn't think they were in the same place. They happened to be in the house together. Called his wife and I said, you won't believe what just happened. And I told her the story and she's like, And I told her how the sirens went off when I was telling her husband. And she's like, well, you need to pray and ask, you know, when God showed us that vision of that door, we prayed and asked God what it meant. And so she's telling me, you need to pray and get a scripture and ask, what does this mean, Lord? And as she's telling me this, Alethea, my two-year-old, she comes up and hands a book to me, and I'm not paying attention at all because, you know, when you have kids, they're tugging on you, pulling on you, putting stuff in your pockets, and you just become oblivious, you know? And so I realized that Alethea had, when she's telling me, you need to find a scripture, just pray, what does it mean, God? And when she's telling me this, I realize Alethea handed me a book. And I look down, and she pulls this book. We have a library that we just started, and people have been donating a bunch of books, and I don't even know what's in the library, okay? And so she must have grabbed it off the shelf, and she handed it to me while my friend is saying, you need a scripture, you need to ask God what this means. And she hands it to me, and the front title of the book is that it says, Heaven Awaits the Bride. And I flip it over, and on the back, there's a big scripture, and it's John 1:51, and it just has the first half of it, and then it goes dot, 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 and it says, truly, truly, I say to you, you'll see the heavens opened. And I thought that was good enough. And I went, 2 days later, I was in the church again, and the janitor was there, and he said, Jamie, did you happen to leave the door that goes to the basement open? A third door. I said, no, I didn't open it. Another door that's locked. And even that door has a key stuck in it, broke off in it, that you can't unlock. I said, no, I didn't leave it open. He said, well, it was wide open. And so out of this, I don't know why, every time I get to the third door, there must be something on the third door. Because every time I get to the third door, I just break down. Not even coming into the moment perfectly fine. And so there's three doors that are open. And if that's not enough, it just kept piling upon, piling upon, piling upon each other. God just speaking about an open door season. And so 2 days later, I'm preparing a message to preach at my old home church because they kicked me out and they wouldn't let me come back. But no. They let me come back. So I was preparing a message to preach at my old church. And God had already been speaking to me before all this open door stuff. God had already been speaking to me about a door being open called outpouring. And I don't think about this at all during all this open door stuff. And so, like I said, 2 days later, it's Saturday now, and I'm preparing for this message after all these events culminated that whole week, and I just randomly decided to clean my sock drawer out, okay? I just thought, Jamie, it's a good day to clean your sock drawer, you know? And so I cleaned my sock drawer out, and I come across a little note in there that I had just written sermon scribbles on from a message I'd written earlier that summer. And it's talking about favor, and favor leads you into a season of preparation that leads you into your due season. And at the very end of this little message, this little sermon note, I have in big lettering, I wrote Revelation 3:7. It's an open door season. And I randomly come across this the same week of all that happened. And so I'm pretty sure now that God's saying it's an open door season. And Saturday night, everybody good? Everybody, we're good? Okay. So Saturday night, we went to the church, and they had kind of this little worship night. And I'm telling this for a reason. So they had a worship night. It was good, you know. And then Sunday morning, I preached this message about supernatural increase and open door, and that there's a door open that's called outpouring. That's open right now for the church. And after I got done preaching this message, one of the guys that was there the night before, he came up and he told me, he said that this last night, the scripture kept coming to me over and over and over. And it was Matthew 7:7. The Lord said, it's not for tonight, it's for tomorrow morning. And it's ask and you shall receive, seek and you'll find. And he said, the part that was highlighted to me says, knock and the door will be opened. And so I'm saying that there's a door open in heaven. And I believe part of its nature, part of its character is outpouring. And I believe that we're in a season, we're in a time of supernatural increase. So I looked at some open heaven scriptures, and we know most of them, you know. But I want to remind you of what happens when there's an open door. And the first one, because we're talking about supernatural increase, the first one is from Malachi 3:10. Like I said, I know we all know this, but it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. The New American Standard says, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. So what am I saying? I'm saying that when there's an open door released, that supernatural increase occurs, abundance occurs, and there's an outpouring, okay? So see if I won't open up the windows of heaven. See if I won't open up heaven and pour out. And so when the heavens are opened, when doors are opened, an outpouring occurs. And so there's just the atmosphere and the church is just pregnant for supernatural increase in this time. And I even, 3 or 4 years ago, when I was at my old church, and I used to be an associate pastor in Oroville, Ohio, and would pastor... co-pastored really kind of with him and then would preach at churches there too, you know, because I've always kind of been itinerating yet pastoring. And so, because that's the season I've been in for the 7 years so far. And even when I was there, dad would still have me come back and preach because he missed me and he was mad I was gone, you know. Like, why, God, did you send him away, you know? And so he made sure I was still sowing into his church, you know. And so there was a season where God just, about 4 years ago, where every time I'd go back and preach, you know, that those kind of six weeks interments or interims, you know, I'd go back and preach. And about three times in a row, God spoke to me supernatural increase. I would just keep speaking these messages about supernatural increase over my church. And I can't tell you all my church background and all my church history and the history of my parents' church, but for me to preach supernatural increase to them took faith for me. You know, probably just as much faith for them to hear it than for me to preach it. And but nonetheless, 2 years later, God would call us back to the church. And after he called us back to the church, about a month after he called us back to the church, and we told everybody at our Oroville church and told everybody back at home church, a door opened up to us. And we suddenly were in a building that was three times as big as our old building. And so that's where we're at. We're in that season, in that place of supernatural increase that God had spoken of 2 years prior to when supernatural increase really started happening and manifesting in the natural. And I don't think it's going to take that long, but I just want to tell you that because when God started speaking to me about it being a time of supernatural increase, I believe it because I've seen it. And I know that I know that I know when God speaks to me, and I know that I know that I know he's speaking supernatural increase over you. Because there's a door that's been opened in heaven, and heaven has touched earth, and there's a door called outpouring. And when outpouring happens, just like we see in Malachi 3:10, abundance occurs. You know, March 19th and 20th will mark the Jewish religious New Year in the natural. Our March 19th and 20th of 2015. And the Jewish New Year is also coincides with the latter rains. And I have such a feeling, knowing sensation in my heart that Jewish New Year, that new moon time is going to be prophetic of a latter rain outpouring, of these windows of heaven that have opened up. And I believe that there's going to be a latter rain outpouring that really begins to amp up as we come into that season here in the next 3 weeks, 2 weeks, two and a half, whatever it is. And so, you know, we've read scriptures about latter rain, and Hosea 6:2-3, it says, after 2 days, he will put new life in us, or revive us, restore us. This is expanded Bible version. And on the third day, he will raise us up into an open heaven. Or that's my notes. He will raise us up so that we may live in his presence and know him. Let's try to press on to learn about and know the Lord. He will come to us as surely as the dawn comes. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter rain that waters the ground. And so what am I saying? I'm saying that we're coming into, in the natural and in the spiritual, a latter rain season. And when the latter rain comes, it comes. And he says, on the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his presence. I believe that we're coming into a kind of a third day moment where he, you know, just as Revelations 4:1, it says that I heard there was a door standing in open and the voice of one that sounded like a trumpet and saying, come up here. And so there's this door standing open in heaven. And I believe that heaven awaits the bride. Okay. And that he's saying, come up here. I'm going to come down here. You can come up here, whatever you want to do. But nonetheless, outpouring is going to happen because it's a third day kind of moment. And it's a latter rain kind of season. And when the latter rains come, they came to do what? They came to pour out so that the harvest would abound, so that there would be supernatural increase. And so I just strongly believe that supernatural increase is occurring, and that the latter rains are pouring out, and that we're going to see an abundance. We're going to see a drastic change. We're going to see outpouring. You know, after I released this message kind of for the first time at my old church 3 weeks ago about a door called outpouring, and all this open door stuff happened that week coming up to that message, I preached about a door called outpouring that's being opened up. And 2 days later, I ended up hearing from the people I used to pastor with that there was an outpouring, that there was a revival happening in Goshen, Indiana. Anybody hear about that? There's a literal, real revival happening right now in Goshen, Indiana. And I actually went out to it 2 weeks ago. And so right now in Goshen, Indiana, they're having nightly services to where 1,000 to 3,000 people are coming every night because there's a door open in heaven that's been called outpouring. And supernatural increase always comes when the rain comes because it's to bring fruitfulness. It's to bring overflow. Let me read you a scripture. Acts 2:47, this is after the outpouring, this is after Pentecost. It says, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. You know, there was a supernatural increase that was occurring because of the outpouring that had occurred. I believe that so many relevant things happened for me today in the prayer room. And, you know, when the heavens are opened, there's certain manifestations or even accompanying signs that we could say that occur in an open heavens. And one of those is that the angelic increases. And, you know, in Hebrews 1:7, I have it on here somewhere. It says that, what does it say? It says, Hebrews 1:7, it says, and of the angels, he says, who makes his angels winds, his ministers a flame of fire. And so, you know, with the outpouring, always comes different manifestations, always comes different signs, always comes different accompanying signs. And one of those is the angelic. And he tells us in Hebrews 1:7 that he makes his angels like the winds, his ministers like flames of fire. And so when I was in the back room praying, Phyllis just happens to start talking about Boston and the East Coast. And when she's saying this, I'm like, you got to be kidding me right now. And I'm like, I said, I don't know anything about news. I just, you know, I'm not saying it's bad to listen to news. I don't. I'm so uninvolved in the media and what's going on. And I don't even, you know, the prophetic voices, I don't try to not listen to them, but I don't try to listen to them. I just like to hear what God's saying for myself. And so, you know, it's neither here nor there, but it's just, I'm just saying kind of thing. And so she was in the back room and she starts praying over Boston and the East Coast. I don't even remember what all you said, but you started praying that. And I was like, what do you know? I said, what do you know about Boston and the East Coast? And she said, really nothing. I just felt to start praying for Boston and the East Coast. And I said, that is crazy because for one, I want to release a word about what's happening with the latter rain to Boston and East Coast. And I said, for the last 3 months, I had two different dreams about Boston. One was that I woke up and I knew I was a Boston Celtics fan. And the other dream, I just knew it was about Boston. And so God's just been planning this thing about me liking Boston. I said, so, okay, there's something about Boston. And then I would be in different prayer times, and all this stuff about just the East Coast would just come to my heart, and I'd just be praying and just proclaiming over the East Coast. I don't know anything. I don't even know. I have no idea what's going on there. I don't know if they know what's going on there. I don't know if there is something going on there. But anyway, I felt like a sign of this latter rain and this outpouring and this open door and this open heaven season was going to be this about Boston. I wrote, watch for strong winds to blow on the East Coast, maybe New England and Boston. I put maybe in there because I'm like, I think it's East Coast, but you know, you want to be a, you know, I am prophetic, but maybe New England and Boston. In particular, on the new year, the new moon, latter rain, barley harvest time frame, I said, it'll be prophetic of an open heaven. Many times throughout the Bible, when there's an open heaven, there are angels that are released, and some angels are likened to winds or manifest winds, according to Hebrews 1:7. And although we can't say with certainty that on the day of Pentecost, when there was an open heaven, that the angels were released as wind and fire, there was nonetheless the sound of a mighty rushing wind and tongues of fire over the believers. Isn't that interesting? He likens the angels to winds and fire, and those two things were prevalent during that open heaven experience. And like I said, none of us can I guess, say that it was angelic, but nonetheless, he calls his angels winds and his ministers flames of fire. And so I said, my point is that an open heaven comes with angelic ministry and manifestation, and wind is part of their nature, and I believe he'll release his winds even on the East Coast, and it'll signify or point to the fact that an open heaven's being released in that biblical time frame of the latter rain or the Jewish New Year. And so, you know, I don't know what's all going to happen. It may not happen on that date, but, you know, I'm not praying or preaching that it would be anything disastrous. But I believe that there's just something really, really, really significant about the East Coast and even Boston. And I don't know what God's about to do, but I just tell you this to say, to look for it as another sign of what God's doing, of the open door, of the open season that we're in. And, you know, I just have such a sense that it's just a more above and beyond season. You know, it's that Ephesians 3:21. It says, to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all that we can ask or imagine, according to the power that's at work within us, you know. And so there's just this, really heavy sense of supernatural increase and just the more of the Lord and far above all that we can ask or imagine. And so I just bless you to take it and receive it. We can talk about open heavens, and I believe that there are just things that are just going to divinely happen. But who knows that we can prepare and align ourselves even better with what is happening. You know what I mean? Like, we can get the more of the Lord, even out of the more that's being poured out. And so I just want to talk about some things that I think that we can just look to do to really, really set ourselves up to enjoy and prosper in this open heaven time, this open door season. And so I believe that there's an open heaven, doors or windows are available, and these are some things that I wrote down that I believe that will help us to not only to see it more clearly, but to maintain it, to obtain it, okay? And one of those is decreeing. You know, I know decreeing and declaring is probably spoken of here. You're a prophetic church, and so, you know, it's Job 22:28. It says what? You could probably all quote that, right? It says, decree a thing and it shall be established, right? It says that, and you shall decree a thing, and it will be established. So I just decree over this church that just like Kenny saw that rainbow touching the earth, that heaven is touching earth, and that the windows of heaven, the doors of heaven, the heavens are opened over this place, they're open over this region, and that supernatural increase is coming, and that abundance is here, and harvest is here, and that you will see an outpouring of the Lord in this place. I decree it and declare it in Jesus' name. Amen. And so decree and declare, repenting. You know, Jesus modeled in his baptism that repenting breaks open the heavens. He followed through with the baptism of repentance, not because he needed to, but I think because he is modeling something. And what happened as he was baptized in that repentance? The heavens were opened. And there came what? Manifestations. There came accompanying signs. And so I believe, again, that not only are the heavens opened, but accompanying signs are coming with the heavens being opened. Amen? Amen. And that can be angels, that can be winds, that can be feathers, that can be a lot of things. That can be repentance. That can be, you know, just a whole bunch of different things. Healing. So decreeing, declaring, repenting, fasting. We all love that one, right? Fasting. You know, to break open the heavens with fasting and prayer, and even fasting and repentance. Second Chronicles 23 and 25. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to show you this. Second Chronicles 20. verse 3 and 25, it says, "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah." Verse 25, "When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much." So there was a time of fasting, and because of it, the heavens broke open. And when the heavens broke open, they not only, the Lord not only defeated their armies, but also we see here that they found among themselves an abundance of valuables, more than they could carry away. They were 3 days gathering the spoil. That's called supernatural increase. And so decreeing, declaring, I'm talking about maintaining and obtaining, okay? Obtaining and maintaining. Because it's one thing to have an open heaven experience, which I want more, but it's another thing to maintain open heaven experience over your life. I don't want just a visitation, you know? I want the habitation. And so, you know, this open heaven, this latter rain time that we're coming into, it's not just for a nice visitation. It's because he's saying heaven awaits the bride. And he's saying, because not only do I want to come down there, but I want you to come up here. And not only, you know, it's like it says in Hosea 6:3. It says, "After 2 days, he'll put new life in us. On the third day, he will raise us up so that we may live in his presence and know him and learn about him. He will come as surely as the dawn." So he not only wants to come and visit us, but he also wants to, on the third day, he wants to raise us up. And I know that you know, this is talking about probably the second coming and that final raising up. But I believe also that the scripture is prophecy. And I believe that there's third day moments, and that then this third day moment and this latter day movement and this new year season and this outpouring time, that he's saying, not only do I want to pour out, but I also want to bring you up. I also want to raise you up. I want you to come up here, Revelation 4:1. And so, you know, we want to obtain, but we also want to maintain. And so decree, declare, fast, repent. Getting back to my list. Pray. You know, worship, study the word, you know, renew your mind. Because, you know, just as much as I'm preaching this and just as much as you're hearing it, and it sounds wonderful because it is and it's true, how easy is it tomorrow to say, I don't know? And so we have to go back to the word, and we have to say, yeah, when the heavens are opened, there is an outpouring. And when the heavens are opened, supernatural increase does happen. And when the heavens are open, signs accompany. And when the heavens are open, on and on and on. And I decree and declare, because when you decree a thing, it will be established, that the heavens are opened over my life, they're open over my church, they're open over my territory, they're open over my sphere of influence. Amen? So we need to be renewing our mind, you know. Renew your mind. You know, keep believing that what God's saying is what God's saying. It's not me, you know. And it's not just a pretty idea, but that he's made it very clear in my life. And I just release right now open doors that no man can shut. I just feel to release that right now. And so I'm going to actually just lay hands on Rick and Phyllis and believe that as I release it over them, that it'll transfer down to you or across to you or up to you or whatever. But they're the leaders of this house, and whatever they get gets to flow down from them. And you know, there's something interesting about decreeing. We're people of authority, amen, right? Matthew 28:18, it says that Jesus came to his disciples and said to him, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. And then what did he say? He said, therefore go, right? He didn't say, since all authority has been given to me, I'm going. He said, since all authority has been given to me, he says, therefore go. So what does that mean? it means that, we all know this, but it means that if he's saying, therefore you go, it means that it's because authority has been given to you now. He didn't say, all authority has been given to me, so now I'm going to do all these great things. He said, all authority has been given to me, so now you go. And so all I'm saying is that we're people of authority, and what we decree has authority behind it. And if you're a leader of your family, or you're a leader of your business, or I don't care what you're a leader of, you have a sphere of influence. And so whatever is under you, for lack of better terms, is going to be divinely influenced by whatever you're decreeing. And so as I just lay hands and want to impart open door that no man can shut over your leaders, it's because it's going to then be imparted to you, because they're the authority, and what goes with them goes with everybody under their influence. You know, King David, in Kings or Chronicles, I can't remember what it was, he made a decree that there would be a census in all the land. The prophet tried to talk him out of it. He said, no, please don't do this, you know. But David, in his pride, said, I'm gonna do a census. And because he decreed it, it influenced the whole nation. You remember the story? He decreed a census, and because of it, God said, okay, now since you sinned, you have three options. You can have armies come against you. You can have another thing come against you, which I don't remember, or I'll come against you for 3 days. And David said, I'd rather have the Lord come against me than an outside source. And so what am I saying? David decreed a census, and because he's a king, and because you're a king, and you're a king, and you're a king, and you're a king, what you decree is established, and what you decree influences everyone in your realm of authority. You understand? And so, again, I'm just saying, I just impart an open door that no man can shut. I'm sorry, it's the back of my hand. It's not less anointed, I hope. I just impart an open door that no man can shut, in Jesus' name. And I just say right now that the doors are going to fling wide open in this place. And they will not be able to be shut. Because there's a mighty, mighty rushing wind that's blowing into this room, blowing into this church, and it's going to blow open the doors. And we even decree right now and declare right now that it's blown open the doors, and they will not be able to be shut. But there will only be an inflowing. There will only be an outpouring into this place, Lord God, and that nations and peoples and different tongues would even come into this place, Lord God. Because the doors have been opened and the walls have been shattered, they've been crumbled, and now they're made more visible than they've ever been made before. And they're seen as they've never been seen. They're not seen like they've been seen in the past, because it's a fresh day and it's a new day, and there's a fresh mantle on this church. And so we just say and proclaim and decree into the heavenly places that they're not going to be seen as they've been seen before in negative lights. The positive will still stay, but any of the negative, Lord God, we just say that they won't be seen like that anymore. They'll be seen as a mighty mountain. They'll be seen as a high mountain. I say that this church will be seen as a high mountain, and that the nations will run to it. Even in this seemingly place of invisibility, Lord God, there'll be a high mountain for all to see. And so we thank you, Lord God, for making this place a mountain that can be seen from many regions. Your sphere of influence has already expanded. It's a time of enlargement. It's a time of Isaiah 54:1-3, not just for you, for your church. Isaiah 54:1-2, it says, sing, O barren woman, you who've never bore a child. Shout for joy, sing aloud, for more are the children of the desolate woman than her who has a husband, says the Lord. It says, stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, while you're spread out to the right and to the left. I declare it over this church that it's a time of enlargement. Even in the barren places, they'll now become fertile. We say no more headaches, no more heartaches, no more headaches and no more heartaches. Not in this house. Not in this house. Not in this house, I say. I say, not in this house anymore. Nope, it's a new day. It's a new day. There's a new way. They've crossed over. They've crossed over out of heartache and headache. And now they're joined together in a greater unity and a much powerful force than they've ever been before. And they're taking the high places. And they're becoming a higher place. So we just embrace the winds of your spirit that are blowing in this place right now. And we ride the wind because you even said that your children, Lord God, the spirit, you know, blows where it wishes. And so we're likened to that, Lord God. And so we just embrace the wind that's blowing over this church, over this place, and for this house and for these leaders. We embrace the wind and we say, let it carry us to the distant lands. Let it carry us to the places that we had called unfertile, that you call fertile. And let us gather in the crop. Let us gather in the harvest for your glory and for your name. You know, the Lord was, one of the first things that the Lord, I'm sorry, I keep messing up your hair all morning long, right? Get off my hair, my beautiful hair. But one of the first scriptures, Rick and Phyllis, that the Lord really placed on my heart for you all, for your church, was Genesis 26. And you can turn there if you want, but you don't have to. Is everybody okay? Do I need to shut up? Okay. Like, you can preach till, like, I guess, what, in the morning? Right? But Genesis 26 was one of the first scriptures that came to me, guys. And I'm going to read Genesis. Here, I'm going to actually open my Bible and read it. Genesis 26. It says, now there was a famine in the land besides the previous famine that had occurred in the days of Abraham. So Isaac went to Gerar, to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. The Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham. Now that's a key for you guys right now, so that's why I kind of highlighted that. I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and will give your descendants all these lands, and by your descendants all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed me and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Verse 6, so Isaac lived in Gerar. Now I'm going to skip down to verse 12. It says, now Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Verse 13, and the man became rich and continued to grow richer. Don't you just love that one? He became rich and grew richer. Continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. For he had possessions of flocks and herds and a great household, so the Philistines envied him. So what I felt like the Lord, one of the things that the Lord highlighted to me, well, first of all, we kind of see, you know, maybe I'm stretching it a little bit, but we could say that, okay, the Lord appeared to him. We could call that an open heaven, right? If the Lord appears, the heavens had to be open, right? So we do see kind of an open heaven experience here that Isaac has. And what do we see in verse 12 and 13 out of that open heaven experience? He's blessed, but supernatural increase, right? He became rich, very rich, and his wealth grew. And so again, open heavens, supernatural increase. And also, Isaac had a harvest in a land or territory that wasn't his own. And it wasn't really his area, it wasn't his home place, and it wasn't where he had been established and had rule or dominion or authority necessarily, but rather in a different land, which God spoke to him, which is always key, you know. We don't just go somewhere, but God spoke. And so he even harvested 100-fold in a land that wasn't even, you know, fertile. And what I felt like God was speaking to me is that I just saw very distinctly a place that was so fertile that you had sowed into, you had prayed into, you had interceded for, you had cried over, you've done all those above things, and it's good and it's fertile and it's ready, but that God is actually going to give you a greater harvest and a land that wasn't your own, that you hadn't cried over, you haven't prophesied over necessarily, maybe you hadn't, sowed into, or you haven't plowed in, but that he was just in a moment going to give you supernatural increase in a land that's not your own because he said, I called you to it. And so and it may already be happening. You know, I know that you're talking about being with different leaders and being in different places and whatever, and maybe that's part of it, but I just know that God's saying that you're going to reap a large harvest even in a land that you would have called unfertile, even in a land that wasn't necessarily on your scope of thinking. And so I believe that you're going to see a supernatural increase even in a territory, area, land. I don't know what that means, but supernatural increase will even come from a place you're just like, really, this place? But because you'll know that God said so, and because of it, your obedience will bring supernatural increase. And so, that was really how he led me into supernatural increase for you guys' message. And then I realized, you know, he's been speaking it everywhere. And so all this has been for you, don't get me wrong. But I just feel like God's enlarging your borders. He's enlarging your realm of influence. He's enlarging your territory. He's causing you to even reap where you haven't sown, causing you to reap in an area that you may or may not have, like I said, wept over, interceded. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't, okay? But I just feel like you're going to reap in a land that's really not even your own, that you haven't even necessarily maybe sowed into. But it's because you're in a time where he's enlarging your territory. He's expanding your boundaries. And I'll even say this scripture about enlarging your territories. Again, God will start speaking it. Then I'll just notice he speaks it everywhere I go then. And so I believe, with supernatural increase, obviously has to come an enlargement of your territory. And that it is Isaiah 54, 1 and 2 and 3 over you guys, that your territory is being enlarged. You know, that your tent is being expanded, okay? Because supernatural increase is being released, amen? Let me make sure there's, something interesting, that I was kind of listening to guy named Tom Jones. Have you heard of Tom Jones? He kind of works with, he's part of Global Awakening with Randy Clark and all those folks. But anyway, I was listening to a prophetic CD of his on the way here yesterday, and he said something that really caught my attention. And he said that yesterday's blessings can become tomorrow's anchors. And so what am I saying? He's saying that even God's great blessings on your life, even his goodnesses on your life, even the treasures that he's placed in your life can become tomorrow's anchor, keeping you from your next mission, your next blessing. And so he's getting ready to pour out, and he's speaking drastic change, and he's speaking supernatural increase. And sometimes when supernatural increase comes, and sometimes when the heaven opens over your life, there's another thing that will maintain or help you to obtain the open heaven, and sometimes that's selling everything. Sometimes it's not holding on to even what's good and what's God's blessing from yesterday, because it's just too heavy to carry into the next season. And this is just I'm just saying kind of word right now. It's not a thus says the Lord. It's just, I'm just saying. You know, we see with the parable of talents that people were given different blessings, right? Some of them multiplied it. Some of them just held on to it. And they were called wicked because of it. And the talent, it wasn't a bad thing. It was something God gave them. Can we all agree? That one talent was something God gave them. You know, your houses, your cars, your jobs, your everything that God blesses us, everything that he poured out on and made to increase and abound in our life, they're God things. They're good things. But who knows that sometimes when we move into a new season, he asks us to kind of trade in or sow last season's blessings so that we can really multiply our blessings, multiply then last year's talent or last year's blessing so that it can now become multiplied and then we can enter into the next season he's calling us into. Am I making sense? He wants you to not live on your blessing. He wants you to always further your blessing. Because we want to plateau when we see something really nice happening in our life and we really enjoy where we're at. We really love what's going on, or we don't, but there's still some blessings in it. And we just want to say, I'm good right here, God. But he's saying, you know what? The people I call my friends, sometimes I call them to give what they got so I can give them the more that I have. Get rid of what you have so that you can have the more that he has in store. And again, if that speaks to you, it speaks to you. If it doesn't, it doesn't. You know, it's just one of those things that God, I know that he's been kind of putting that on my heart in some ways, and I don't know that it looks scary, and I don't know what all he's saying exactly right now. But I just know that there's this thing about not holding on to your talent, not holding on to just your blessing, but multiplying it. And sometimes that looks like not letting it be an anchor in your life, keeping you in this season and keeping you in the past seasons so that you can move on to your next season and further the kingdom and further your purpose and your destiny. Amen. Because he's all about your purpose. He's all about your destiny. You know, He wants to fulfill the desires of your heart. But sometimes the desires of our heart being fulfilled looks like getting rid of everything or some things that are happening now that are even good so that he can propel us onto the next stage. Right? Amen. Again, I just want to check. Right, well, I've been preaching on purpose for about the last month and a half, and it's, you know, been really, really good, so I could preach forever on that too, but I feel like I think I'm done. So, you feel good? Okay. Lord God, we... As we just step into this next moment of ministry or whatever you have, Lord God, I just ask even for direction for this next time and that you would just continue to pour in and pour out as we step into ministry time. And Lord, I pray that I said everything that they needed to hear and everything that needed and imparted. We just believe that it's been imparted. And Lord God, if there's anything that I missed that you would have liked to have said, please just bring it to them in Jesus' name. And I just ask right now for your guidance and direction as we step into ministry. I really wanted to go after healings.